Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to our third and final hour on this Friday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Today is January 15th, 2016, and we're going to cover news this third hour. We're not going to take calls as we thought, but hopefully next week we will...
We can open the phone lines next week. We just want to cover a lot of groundwork here because there's so much groundwork to cover. And we have new listeners checking in with us. It's interesting because our listenership is growing, and our people are saying, hey, can you talk about different things? Because my family's tuning in now, and we need a little bit of the basics mixed with the current events. And so we're attempting to appeal to a pretty wide audience. But go ahead.
This article is one that stems from the President's State of the Union address. Embracing homosexuality is America's future, Obama says in State of the Union. President Obama hailed gay marriage as one of the proudest accomplishments and looked forward to the day when Americans would shed traditional sexual morality to embrace homosexuals in this final State of the Union address last night. The president told a combined chamber of Congress, cabinet members, and most of the Supreme Court that upholding our unique strengths as a nation and heeding the spirit of progress made our national celebration of sexual minorities possible. That's how we secured the freedom in every state to marry the person you love, Obama said early in his rather short national address. The reference to a highly contested 5-4 Supreme Court decision infuriated pro-family advocates. The Republican leadership ought to set aside an empty chair in front of the chamber to represent that more than 50 million Americans whose votes in support of traditional marriage were stolen by anti-constitutional, illegitimate ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court, said Brian Brown, president of the National Organization of Marriage. It's a national insult that the president, Obama, would celebrate such an affront to democracy, was what he says, but so more than that. To underscore his comment to the issue, First Lady Michelle Obama invited James Obergefell, the plaintiff in the Supreme Court Obergefell, the plaintiff in the Supreme Court case, as one of her special guests. Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan gave a spare ticket to the Family Research Council, which in turn invited County Clerk Kim Davis, who refused to issue gay marriage licenses to same-sex couples on religious liberty grounds. Was it Obergefell?
Obergefell
said if he confronted Davis, he would tell her that her stance isn't right, isn't fair, and isn't what America is about. But there is no inclination that the two met. For her part, Davis said she hoped her presence helped encourage Christians who want to make a difference in our nation. The president, who gave his final State of the Union address, returned to the subject of homosexuality later in the hour-long speech. I have such incredible confidence in our future because I see your quiet, sturdy citizenship all the time, he said. He said he found hope in the son who finds the courage to come out as who he is, and the father whose love for that son overrides everything he's been taught about homosexual behavior. Once again, Obama made no reference to abortion in the national address, although he praised Obamacare, saying the premium hikes caused by health insurance inflation were now increasing at a lower rate than in previous years. He once again advanced federal intervention in education policy, calling the No Child Left Behind bill an important start to offering universal, publicly funded preschool. In the coming years, we should
indoctrination. That's what it is.
In coming years, we should build on the progress that by providing pre-K for all, he said. Obama has advocated federally funded daycare since the first presidential campaign in 2008, mentioning that in previous State of the Union addresses and even including a reference in the nation's first ever report to the UN Human Rights Council. Policy experts warned that the new entitlement would not be helpful, and most of the Americans do not want that kind of government tinkering with traditional family roles. Families seem to prefer caring for their children at home in their early years, said Lindsay Burke, a scholar at the Heritage Foundation. Multiple studies show that educational benefits of the child recovered by attending a Head Start disappears by the spring of first grade, but well-documented negative effects of preschool on children behavior, such as increased aggression, arrested emotional development, remain. But again, the purpose of this article, the president, during the State of the Union, embracing homosexuality as America's future, as Obama said in the State of the Union address, and saying, upholding our unique strengths as a nation and heeding the spirit of progress made our nation's celebration of sexual minorities possible.
Well, there's a battle for America taking place, obviously. There's a battle even more than that. A battle is being waged in the heavenlies, and it's manifesting here on terra firma, on Earth. And everyone, whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not, we're all part of the battle. And if you're, and I just want to say hi, Megan. I don't know what made me think of you. Just a tremendous lady, a business owner. Her and her husband, they've got, I believe, 5 children, the homeschool. I mean, my goodness. But, you know, this is an affront to every Christian. And what we have today is, of course, a battle for the morality, it's a battle against Christians. And I find it interesting because, again, we have to go back to the foundations and look at this through a wider scope. Look at what Adam Weishaupt, the founder of the Bavarian Illuminati, had said. Behold our secrets, he said. He wrote, if in order to destroy Christianity, remember that the ends justify the means, this can be done in no other way but by secret associations, which will by degrees and in silence possess themselves of the government of the states. The express aim of this order is to abolish Christianity and overthrow all civil governments. Now, this is Weishaupt. How many hundreds of years ago? Well, and then Dan Brown. Remember Dan Brown?
The author of Angels and Demons and the Da Vinci Code?
Right. He wrote, and he admitted in numerous interviews, the Brotherhood of the Illuminati is also factual. So when we talk about the Illuminati, and
it is factual, and then
right.
Was,
but the articles or the stories you just read about the elevating to an elite status the homosexuals, the transgendered, the LGBTs, the perverse in place of the godly. Well, this is what's taking place. Look, the philosophical battle for this country began, folks, in the 17th, 18th centuries, between the Bavarian Illuminati and Christianity, and it's still going on today. It's a battle. We look at it today, I guess it would be a battle between the secular humanist ideals and Judeo-Christian values. Right? I mean, that's where it's at right now. Mysteriously, both America and the Illuminati were founded in 1776. I find that very interesting. And at the nation's founding, there was a clash of worldviews, and we're seeing the clash of worldviews, or maybe even more to the point, a clash of ideologies, a clash of morality, or a clash of spirituality, a clash between what's good and versus what's evil, because now evil is being called good in the form of what of this celebration. Can you imagine? Imagine Barack Hussein Obama in the hallowed halls giving the State of the Union address and celebrating the perversity that is homosexual marriage. Boy, I guarantee that's going to get me some emails and some postal mail. Feel free to send postal mail addresses on the front of our website, HagmanHagman.com. Okay? A hate mail and, go ahead and elevate us on the right wing hate watch website, SPLC website. Go ahead, because it's perverse. It's perverse, and it's part of a takedown of our country. Not only of our country, it's part of a takedown of our belief system, our Christian, Judeo-Christian system. This is an attack. See, you can't destroy. Necessarily, you cannot destroy a solid unit, a family unit, the nuclear family, the husband, the wife, the man, the wife, the man, the woman, the children. You can't do that. unless there's a crack in the foundation. And the crack in the foundation is where the smoke of Satan seeps in and destroys us from within. And the founders of the secret societies, from the Illuminati to the Skull and Bones, to the Council on Foreign Relations, to the Trilateral Commission, to the Tavistockian Institute proxies, these are all the sinister forces that are waging war against us. You know, people say that, look, we weren't founded as a Christian nation, and many of the founding fathers had to various degrees. Different ideological beliefs. Some with they had a biblical worldview. Others were deists, and some were Freemasons on the part of the part of the Illuminati on the Rosicrucian order. We need to understand this. We need to understand our own history. And I won't go through our history, but it's interesting to me as Joe and I were looking at different things, you know. Every home has got a flat screen television. And isn't that interesting that the price of televisions have come down so much? I mean, it's nothing to have a television in every room, and you're just sucked into this idiot box. Well, I would say this: the chicest form of control is making people believe that they're free while having someone manipulate their every move. Right. In other words, go ahead and believe you're free, but you're not. You think you're free, but you're not. So one form of dictatorship is being in a prison cell. That's, you know you're not free. You can see the bars, you can't get out. The other, of course, is much more subtle. And it is a dictatorship when you can't see the bars and you think you're free. The biggest hypnotist in the world is maybe what you're looking at right now, or next to you right now. That's the television. It reaches in just about everyone's home. It creates the basis for mass brainwashing. And folks, you might not realize this, but your mind is being shaped and molded every second. Every time you turn on your television set, your mind is being messed with, because one of the things that happens, it's interesting, one of the things that happens when you watch TV, the right part of your brain, the right hemisphere, is twice as active as the left. Have you ever seen, and I think there might be videos about this, which it in itself is a neurological anomaly. You got to understand that. Okay, the crossover from left to right releases a surge of the body's natural opiates. So when you're watching TV, there's this release of endorphins, which includes the beta endorphins and other structurally identical compounds that are, again, identical to opium and its derivatives like morphine and codeine and heroin. So in other words, what your TV is doing is working as a high-tech delivery system right to your brain, and we all feel its effects. Another effect of watching TV is that the higher brain regions, like the midbrain and the neocortex, and we've talked about this before, they are bang shut down, and most activity shifts to the limbic system, which is in the lower part of your brain. And why am I talking about this? Well, why even go here? Because right now, the majority of people don't know truth from lies. They don't know, they're being brainwashed. You're being brainwashed. You're being transformed to think that what Obama said in the State of the Union address, that we are to celebrate this diversity known as homosexuality. We are to celebrate the perversity that is. We are to enjoy our captivity and turn in our guns. And you see, the internet is full of people who are advancing this brainwashed, sadly, this brainwashed picture, for lack of a better word. And that people are going to laugh right in your face, right at you, when you try to explain to them the bigger picture, pun intended, and the unseen reality that's behind the curtain that we talk about on this show. real quick here, because Joe's got some good stuff to get into. But again, I'm just trying to provide. You know, I'm just trying to provide this backdrop here.
Got nothing. New groundbreaking.
Well,
news,
yeah,
so.
And you know, you go to the news, you can see the news. You go to the headlines, you understand that we're in a heap of world of hurt, right? I mean, you get that. You get that. You understand that. Hey, the stock market, or the investors, savers, and the people in the stock market, they lost $2.3 trillion here just
over the last 7 days. Yeah. And over the last 7 months, $15 trillion.
But see, okay, so $15 trillion. But see, everything is okay because the television told you it's okay, or these numbskulls, these pseudo intellectual academic, mealy mouth idiots that sit there on these panels behind the television on these news shows and these late night perverse comedians and the writers and directors who think of programs like Lucifer. It's okay. Hey, it's just entertainment. But see, that lays the groundwork for you to accept the fact that Obama can stand up there and say, well, you know, it's a good thing that we embrace this diversity that's known as homosexuality. It's not perversity, it's diversity. This is how you're being programmed. Because the television is not the truth.
It's the opposite.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Television is really nothing more than an amusement park. It's theater. I mean, exactly. It's programming, you know? So, you sit there, people sit there, day after day, night after night, and then you, the listener of this program, you'll try to talk to them about world events that we talk about, and there's a disconnect, and we're wondering why. Why can't I tell my brother-in-law, or why can't I tell him about what's going on? Because TV is just about all they know. And do you realize, folks, that 5% of Americans read more than 5 books per year? Yet 1 billion people tune in to the Oscars? So think about that for a second. So only 5% of Americans read more than 5 books a year, but you got a billion people tuning into the Oscars.
And folks, I'm sure, especially with our audience, that there are people who, I'm sure most listeners have read books and have read books that movies have been made from. And you can't tell me that the books are always better than the movies. Reading is not only something that is a healthy activity as it stimulates your mind, whereas the TV makes you docile and in a hypnotic type state. Reading increases your brain activity and the likelihood of your learning to be able to increase in your creative part of the brain to continue functioning.
Well, look, television, why, for example, why are people so accepting of a perversity? Why are people so accepting and non-questioning of immorality and criminal behavior? Why are people just so docile today? Well, television has provided just a tremendously great method to create this homogenous culture, a mass culture through which popular opinion can be shaped, controlled, so everyone in the country would think the same. And they're doing it.
Pastor, a Reverend Minister Leonard Ravenhill said, entertainment is the devil's substitute for joy.
Right.
Because there is no joy in the house of the Lord. We need entertainment. And that entertainment is what the devil uses to substitute for joy of just being a Christian and having a joy of just life and life for living for your family and for the right thing.
Well, you know, look.
But this is what happens when, you know, we have this free time when we become content with the way things are, when we're not improving or working to improve. You know, we find ourselves with choices. You know, do we want to hang out with our friends? Do we want to sit there and watch TV? Even on downtime, you know, when you're with your family or your wife, you know, you could spend that time reading the Bible together or reading a book and, you know, doing something proactive. But instead we choose... We, because we're all guilty of this, the easy way out. We'd rather sit on the couch and watch TV for an hour or two or watch a movie when we have the time, giving us no benefit in any way possible.
Well, it's easy.
It's comfortable.
Yeah. Well, it's turning us into a bunch of touchy-feely infants or man-children or adults with infantile tendencies. It's done so you don't necessarily get in the way of the globalists that are trying to force this stuff down your throat. Notice how the TPP has gone off people's radar. Notice how gun control, the initiatives through executive actions announced, just 2 weeks ago,
have fallen
off the radar. Oh, it's
not for
okay.
Our Attorney General Loretta Lynch.
That's right. Go ahead.
U.S. Attorney General to institutionalize Obama gun laws. This article from World Net Daily from 2 days ago goes on to state that Loretta Lynch, Attorney General, will become the latest Obama appointee to admit that one of her top priorities is to make sure President Obama's policies live on long after she and her boss leave power. Lynch is quoted in the latest issue of the New York Magazine saying, "My goal is to position the Department of Justice where it will carry on all of these issues long after myself and my team have moved on." She was speaking specifically about Obama's executive orders on gun control, which he announced last week. Lynch made the comment in response to a question about how she planned to prosecute gun sellers under the new executive actions. And it goes on from there.
Well, this is the making of a fascist society. This is all part of a fascist society. You know, most people think they got a pretty good idea about what a fascist society is about.
People are waiting for a fascist society to arrive.
It's
when they're
here.
Inside one.
Right. And you know, you've seen the movies and the made-for-TV movies, the documentaries on the History Channel, the little glimpses and glamour glimpses of Nazi Germany in the 1930s, the crowds, the frenzies, the glitter, the well-dressed, jack-booted troops as they walk down the street, the rallies, the waving of the Nazi flags. You see the big crowds. You know, then, of course, there were speeches. There were the speeches by Hitler that were made, and you see people cheering, and you think, that can't happen here. It is happening here. It has happened here. The people raising their arms and salute, beckoning their leader, their Führer, you know. Who can really forget now you can remember the terrifying images, the terrifying images of Nazi thugs breaking windows in the Jewish ghetto. Remember that? Remember the you've seen it, the videos of Nazis pulling the old ladies by their hair onto the streets, the SS troops using their machine guns to beat someone and just do a pulp. Well, that's happening here in America too, with our federalized police forces. This is not an indictment against the police, but I mean.
And before that, it was the labeling, the spray painting of the markings of the Jewish buildings and businesses and houses where Jewish families lived. You know, which started before that was kind of like the scarlet letter, the ribbons that Jewish people had to wear to be identified as Jewish. And that's what we see today, you know, with the Southern Poverty Law Center and the other governmental organizations that like to label things from domestic extremism to belligerent citizens to anti-government conspiracy theorists and et cetera.
Well, you know, look, we saw 26 million Soviets murdered in the war back in World War II. Millions of Europeans, half a million American soldiers. And everyone said never again, and you get that. The world never, never, ever tolerate this inhumanity ever again. And the rights of people would never again be so flagrantly violated. We'd never have another Hitler in our midst. Never would. Just never. No, never. But, you know, the bottom line here, what if you... Were you sure about that? I guess Are you sure? What if there's what if we're about ready to or have already let another monster into the room or the cage or the prison in which we reside? Look back, here's an example. You can look back at the victorious troops entering Baghdad and Kabul, right? And think back to that. Think back to Operation Desert Storm.
I remember watching on a little TV in your bedroom.
Yep.
The night those bombings began, watching Baghdad and the lights and the bombs go off.
And afterwards, you remember all the flags waving and the people, kind of like after they announced
the Bin Laden death, and then people went out in front of the White House with their flags.
The cheering, enormous crowds of people. They raise their arms and salute, beckoning their president and saying, oh, hey, this is great. Well, okay. You know, the thrill, there's a thrill of victory, and then, of course, the agony of defeat. Except this time, you know, we really kicked their butts, didn't we? We showed them, didn't we? And we had that nationalism and the American exceptionalism to back us. Now, that's not to indict any soldier that were acting on orders or anything. That's not to indict that. It's just you thinking back. Look at the celebrations. This is at issue here. The celebrations. What we saw on television. What you saw on television. Come to think of it. As was the scenario for the intervention, the wars and all that, were they not just merely copied and pasted from previous historical events? If you think back to, in fact, Sudan, Save Darfur coalition, to Kosovo and the Balkans, to Somalia, to Grenada, to the Falklands, television was the primary facilitator for all of these historic celebrations, right? So, if I may just cite once again Daniel Estulin, Tavistock Institute. He wrote that there was a report in February of 2007 in reference to the Sudan-Britain-inspired conflict, first create instability and chaos that gives the appearance of Arabs fighting Africans. It's always the other people over there killing each other. The second wage a media campaign that focuses a laser beam of public attention on the rising instability. And third, you got to whip up public opinion and fury among a highly manipulated Western population who will quite literally believe anything. And then fourth, make sure the devil this time, you know, well, make sure the devil comes on a horseback. And what's meant by that is that really is the picture, the unwavering narrative of good versus evil. And then you got to demonize the enemy and anyone surrounding them. And of course, remember the demonization, the axis of evil and all this. And yeah, we were gamed. And that's what brought us to where we're at right now. And it was under the banner, shall we say, of the moral high ground, with the full support of us, that we overthrew the bad, the evil. And what do? We installed a benevolent, peace-loving, pro-democracy government, didn't we, right? Yeah, that's what we're told. Well, you know, not quite. But the television, if you watch TV, and if you listen to, all of the conservatives, especially the political conservatives, the Krauthammers and the Brit Humes and anyone on Fox and, you know, all of the darlings, well, where do you get that from? You don't talk to them across the dinner table. You watch them on television. Remember, it was TV that told you what you were celebrating back when, and it was television that told you why you got to feel proud to be American. It was television and the people behind it that told you what to think, and that's basically the bottom line. That's basically the bottom line here.
Absolutely.
So, it's mind-boggling that the public just doesn't question any of them. People choose to participate in the celebration either directly, whether it be through parade routes or through the newscast. And think of it this way, too. By the end of 2010, more than 500,000 innocent Iraqis dead, along with Hussein. Now, babies killed. 5,000-plus American troops dead. Unknown tens of thousands maimed for life, who were liberating the country on behalf of British Petroleum, Royal Dutch America, or Royal Dutch Shell, Halliburton, Blackwater. I'm trying to think all the companies. Chase Manhattan Bank, Bank of America. You got this huge list of multinational corporations, each and every one vying for a piece of the Iraqi pie and part of their wealth. And just as we talked about earlier in the program, Joe, you talked about this, Iraq emails declassified. What were they about Libya? It was about the gold. It was about the money.
The gold-backed currency.
Yes.
For oil, Gaddafi gold, planned
yes,
on
resources. That's what it was about.
Same thing with Saddam.
So, look, between Afghanistan and Iraq, you got tens of thousands of dead children, hundreds of thousands maimed for life, and who, well, for whom, I guess is the proper terminology, did we fight? For whom? Were we fighting for the freedom of the very people we were dropping bombs on? Hell no! No! Can I say that a little different way? No. We replaced the most corrupt leaders the world has ever seen with more corrupt leaders. Karzai, for example, he was a major drug trafficker in bed with the same forces that we were fighting against in the we're guarding poppy fields over there right now. And we've been programmed by television, programmed by the Tavistock Institute, programmed by the secret societies. Yes, they are real. To buy it. The airport, you know, look, have you traveled by airplane across the United States?
I had the opportunity of doing so last year with you. Well, yeah. 2 years ago with you in Montana.
Yeah, and that was a fun time, boy.
I knew what you were thinking.
Yes, well, these jackbooted Nazi goons at the Department of Homeland Security, TSA, you know, I mean, think about the Nazis who dragged the elderly Jewish ladies out of their homes, beat them to death with a rifle butt, just in the name of security, right? Mm-hmm. What difference is there between that action and the action of the Nazi structure that the Department of Homeland Security exists in the United States? Oh, we're free, all right. Oh, we're free. You believe that? Enjoy your freedom. How are you enjoying your freedom? Do you really think that we're free? Do you really think that
we're free, you know, in the sense of spiritual liberty through Jesus Christ? As far as freedom in our system of government, even there we have the opposition spiritually of Satan, but the freedoms that we think we enjoy as Americans are laid out in the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence have been, as the manual we read from yesterday from the Homeland Security defining, you know, violent militia extremist threats, they say that the ideology of anti-government, violent militia men is that America has been encroaching on the rights and liberties of Americans for years and trying to strip them of their guns and, you know, to bring in some type of tyrannical system that uses concentration camps and mass extermination. Well, we're free as much as we... freedom comes at a price. Thomas Jefferson said, "The tree of liberty How does it go? The Tree of Liberty needs to be watered with
the blood of tyrants. Something unparalleled. Yeah,
and that might like not that. Sound Christian-like, but what he said was true. When you have a system, and look how America really started. You had a group of people sick of the political oppression and the religious oppression from the Inquisition to the tyrannical King George III and the overtaxation to go find a new land to establish a system of freedom, which was not a new system, but an old system, as we talked about yesterday. But the freedom
it's a reinduction or reintroduction of the Babylonian system.
I guess the question should be, how much freedom can you expect when you do nothing to secure or protect the freedoms that we were given? When you use your time
when you veg out from the television, right? And you do
when
so
you
willingly.
Use your time to self-destruct through, human behaviors that most of us have sadly gone through. How much freedom can you expect?
Well, we all have a role to play, and as we come into the final 19 minutes of the programming for the week, as we approach this final end to the week, I ask that you go back and kind of consider what we talked about the entire week, because right now at this point in time, I believe we have made the case that we are right now at the point of a complete takeover, and it's fascism. And you know what? For as much as people don't want to hear it, we have right now a system in place that has its roots in the secret societies, but also the Nazi occult. And this Nazi occult, the sinister forces, the American political witchcraft that's taking place, and this American Babylon, we are, as a nation, under judgment. And we are facing judgment, each and every one of us, but we all have a role to play. We all have but before we can play that role, we have to identify the enemy. And before we can really identify the enemy, it's easy to do. But what's not so easy to do is to understand and to really, really take apart the roles and their practices of the enemy, the tools of the enemy, and their methods and modus operandi. But what we're seeing right now is the result of I would say, a Freudian mass brainwashing, I suppose.
Oh, yeah, and it's intentional. It's been intentional. It's been an agenda from the beginning. Politics is a form of religion.
Yeah, exactly right. It is. And, we have to understand that there, right now, there's a fundamental clash of ideals, there's a fundamental clash of morality, there's a fundamental clash of good versus evil. And we have to understand that, there's a Renaissance view, and I think Paul McGuire has talked about this before, of a man and those who see themselves by their birthright, by their legacy, by their lineage, above other people, other men, other women, other humans,
and
who see us as animals, as insects that must be repressed, stomped on, dead by the state. All right? Am I right?
Yeah. And you made me think of something kind of out of the left field, but dealing with lineages and bloodlines. One thing that I've read at some point in the last few years is that we are placeholders for our bloodline and our,
But I don't agree with that at all. If we're placeholders, you might as well be a doormat. You might as well get walked on, and you might as well just
lay like
down and die.
Think of it like this. For Jesus, he had to come through a specific line, tribe,
right?
Bloodline. He had to come from you know, the tribe of Levi. And every person who was an ancestor of Jesus, you know, the father, great-grandfather, etc., held that place of the bloodline. And they had to maintain and keep a certain level of righteousness, or I guess that's not a great example, but our actions today, you know, whether what we ingest in our body, what we put in our body, how we take care of ourselves, directly affects the people who come after us, our own children. And we can choose to give them you know, what we have been turned into, or we can choose to do what we can to give them a better chance. You know, we hear how genetics are involved in problems like heart disease can be a genetic problem. Well, it's our responsibility for our future progeny to try to fix things like this. And I don't mean through the advanced scientific gene splicing and editing that scientists are talking about now. I'm talking about through making the correct decisions to do things right this time, to take care of our bodies properly, to take care of our mind properly, and understand and pass on the important information to. And this is how the people of power have kept in power for so long. It's not that they write stuff down in books and publish it for their you know, future progeny to read and learn. A DNA contains much more than just, you know, your gene traits. There is information in there,
of course. But again, when you say something like we're placeholders,
and I'm saying lineage, from an Illuminati publication.
I can accept that.
Okay, that's how they see it, and I tend to agree with it in the sense that we are, you know, our decisions directly affect our descendants.
Well, only to the extent that you don't look at it as a passive existence.
Right.
You know, we're
taking that Illuminati concept or global, that elitist concept, but taking it down to just a personal level. What we do and you know, how we take care of ourselves and how we take care of our body and mind directly affects, you know, our children who come after us.
Right. Yeah.
And we can change the course of our, you know, some families have father, son, you know, grandfather, father, son, who have all criminal tendencies, end up in jail, bad things happen. It's just this pattern. But every person has the opportunity to change their family lineage, to change the course of the direction of their family.
Well, yeah, and I agree with that.
That's what I said, kind of out of left field. But
well, that's true. I mean, but I understand that. But I think what we need to know, and what at the end of this, and you know, we're going to be continuing the deeper discussion. I mean, you haven't heard really the deep down dark mechanics of really what's going on here.
And we haven't, because I can't articulate it, as I haven't done the proper research in certain areas into it.
But we are in a prophetic countdown right now to the end of days, to Armageddon, to the fulfillment. Yeah, if I can talk right, of prophecy, and a lot of scholars, Bible expositors, they're going to disagree on the order of events, but.
And we don't have to agree.
No, but we can all agree that we're on the fast track right now to the end of days. We can all agree that we are going to be seeing here in my view, in short order, a chaos in this country, and a chaos all across the West. We're already seeing that in terms of the alien mass immigration. Do you think that was an accident? That was just a mere burp of history, where, you know, gee whiz, this is a humanitarian crisis that was not foreseen. No, this was created, and this is being done here in this country, in America, to dilute the moral and social fabric of this country, the social fabric of this country, and the religious fabric of this country, and to take us down from within. That's part of this immigration issue. Now we're seeing where the stock market is tanking, and we can talk all day long about the intricacies of why the stock market went down. We had the same with the oil, but look at the bigger picture instead. look at the larger picture. Look at what all of these events are telling us. And if you don't see, if you don't hear the footsteps of war or the drumbeats of war and the footsteps of the Antichrist coming at you like a galloping racehorse, then you're not listening, or you're too brainwashed to understand the signs and the sounds of the season.
And let me say this, because it's not just destructive, war-torn aftermath that will bring about this Antichrist kingdom. We talked about this in previous weeks, and how it says in Daniel chapter 8, verse 23 through 26, how through peace many will be destroyed in the end times.
That's right.
So this destructive, evil Antichrist system can and will be implemented through what seems to be a peace or a utopia of sorts. A collective society that benefits everybody who wants to be a part of it and, you know, put in their fair share.
That's right. And as we approach the end of the final minutes of the week, look, folks, right now, there are a couple of questions you should be asking yourselves. What are we to do? How are we to live? Of course, if you're a Christian and you're introspective, you've already asked yourselves. Right now, as long as the church exists on earth, God has a destiny. As long as Christians exist, God has a destiny for us to fulfill. We have a position to play.
Christians will exist till the very end,
right?
Only in very few numbers.
Well, look, our destiny is I would say faithfulness, among other things. It's our responsibility to be faithful to God's words and directives. We have to listen. We have to understand what our instructions are from God. We have to play our positions and play them well. And that goes, you know, from Coach Dave Dobmeyer, P.T. Salt, to everyone. We need to play our positions very well. But as we are living in the last days of history, and as the world is quickly moving toward the end times Babylonian system that has been well predicted in the book of Revelation, in the book of Daniel, in Scripture, we need to prepare mankind. Mankind is being divided, ladies and gentlemen, into two camps, Lucifer's and God's. It's the Luciferian plan to usher in the Illuminati's New World Order. It's coming to fruition right before your very eyes. If you can't see it, then take the blinders off. And while this satanic plan is being implemented right now, well, folks, God knew about this a long time ago. I mean, long time ago.
God knew about this before he created the earth.
Well, right. I mean, he knew about it at the beginning from the end. So here in America, in the West, for example, how does America fit into all this, you might ask? Or how does the West fit into all this? Well, you know, the reality, I believe, at some point America's going to become part of, perhaps even, maybe even the head of, this one world order, this one world state,
very
economic
possible
system.
Or it could be removed before.
Right now, see, we're in the greatest crisis we've ever been in since the inception of our nation. And everyone's walking around with their heads up their butts, cranial rectal inversion, you know, and they need either a proctologist or a neurosurgeon to get their heads out of their asses and start paying attention to world events and start acting like adults and start behaving like adults and start behaving like men, not wusses, not metrosexuals, and get your act together, take care of your family, and call evil evil and good good, but doggone it, understand that we are in the last days, and start waking people up and say, look, we need to be on the same team.
And you're exactly right. And one thing I've heard you say at least 10 times today is the docile nature of the population, the carelessness of the times we live in, nor the awareness. But the Bible also says that in the end days that men will wax worse and worse, and that those who are, you know, lukewarm to cold, to haters of the good, and anybody who is subject to God's will, which is all of us, can be blinded for the purposes of bringing this about.
Right. Well,
so as we can be, you know, aggravated at people and you know, tell them to get their act together, at the same time, the Lord has people's eyes blinded for a specific purpose.
I fully understand that. You're absolutely right.
So we have to just take that into consideration when thinking of all the just
Well, let's just start with ourselves then. Everyone listening to this, and here's the deal. Everyone listening to this program tonight, with just 5 minutes to go before the end, here's a homework assignment for the weekend, folks. Why don't you do this? Of course, every morning you get up, read the Bible. Every chance you get, read your Bible. Get close to the Word. But understand that we have a very specific position to play. Understand that time is short. And it's kind of like, you know, if you use any analogy you want, I don't care. But get off of their high horses. Everyone put their egos at the door. Everyone understand that we're all human. We're all in this together, that we have a position to play as Christians. Start acting like Christians. Start taking up the mantle of Christianity. Start being more, just understand that we need to find our own moral center and spiritual center. We need to at this point to be on our knees repenting and praying, but we also need to be studious in approaching approaching what's coming with sobriety but with intellectual awareness. I think the awareness of what's coming is as important as anything else. Now you might think, okay, well, you know, obviously biblical knowledge, being close to the Word, that's important. Of course, that goes without saying. But for me, from my point as a non-pastor, non-minister, but just as a Christian man and the head of my family and the head of this organization, basically, that we have here, it's my responsibility to get everyone girded up, armored up, and prepped up and ready to go, because we're gonna be on a solid ride here, a pretty bumpy ride, that is. And arrows are going to be shot, and we can't afford to be pussyfooting around with things of little consequence. In other words, you know, we have to look at the bigger picture. And if you want to get into little issues like, oh, cruise birth certificate, is he eligible or not? Well, you know what? Probably not, but at the end of the day, does it really matter? At the end of the day, does that really matter of Cruz's eligibility? Is Cruz going to save us? Is Rubio going to save us? Is Bernie Sanders, if you're on the left, is he going to save us, or Hillary? Hell no. There's only one Savior, and of course, that's Jesus Christ. So that's the only thing I've got to say. But you know what? Let's start acting like men, if you're a man. And if you're a woman, act like a woman. Saw a woman the other day acting like, I don't know what she was acting like, but I'll tell you what, it was nothing I've ever seen before. But see, people are starting now, as we started the program, people are starting to come unglued. People are starting to, it's almost like you've got a compass, and your moral compass, and, you know, something affects your compass, and it goes just wacko. You know, you're going through the Bermuda Triangle, and your compass goes. Can't afford that. Can't afford that today, can't afford that ever, but certainly not today. And that concludes my opening statement.
Well, excellent, as your opening statement has led us to the end of the show. And I like it.
Yeah, now, I'm done. I'm spent.
We had a good week this week. It was a return to the old in the sense that it was a week without really any guests. Standeo did come on, as usual, but we had a show, a week of shows, just you and me, having discussions related to topical news, important current events, as well as deep spiritual matters, philosophical, and matters dealing with human nature and the spiritual battle that has been waged since the beginning of mankind, since the beginning of the pre-Adamic.
Do me a favor, ladies and gentlemen. Those listening and those who care about the content of the show, send us an email, studio@hagmanandhagman.com. That's studio@hagmanandhagman.com, or just go to hagmanandhagman.com and give us an idea of what you'd like us to talk about, the topics that are important to you. Whether it's what was the caller? I think Phil, College of Knowledge. Let us know. Do it this weekend. Let us know. All right? Appreciate it.
God bless each and every one of you. We'll be back on Monday. If anything major happens over the weekend, expect some live video from us at some point, or we will address it. Otherwise, we will be back Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern, here on Global Star Radio Network. Check out the archive of Ted Breuer's show today, as my dad was on the show.
Yeah, and Sunday's show is going to be real important.
Have a good night.
Global Star Radio Network.